Hello and welcome to the NTA Podcast, Season 7, Episode 19. I'm Hybrid Mink. In the room tonight we have Dr. Kev.
Good evening.
Requiem.
Hello, weebs of the world.
And UMR Guy.
Hey, glad to be back.
Hey, what's up? Today we're going to be talking about video games that we think would make for a great anime. And I think games are going to come up a few times, maybe even in the news too. But before we get to that, let's go to Dr. Kev with an update on the blog. Housekeeping?
Well, okay, so there's the website that we write for, allegedly, which is the rationale for the existence of the podcast, I suppose. It's medium.com/Anite-official or anite.org. And there has been only one article in the last couple of weeks since we last recorded that. And it's not been by me because I've been too busy to write anything. This has been by one of our writers, Marquan, whose article is titled, "Of course you can step on, I mean tease me, the age of tease is upon us," which is about the recent proliferation of teasing anime. So it's a fun read, especially if you like slightly etchy anime with girls who like to tease boys. It's good fun. I've only seen one of those anime. I'm not really sure if I want to watch the rest of them. But yeah,
which
go look
one
at that.
Was
That's oh my god, I can't even remember the name of it. The one with the tanned girl who steps on the geek boy. Nagatoro-san, that's it.
Best, okay, I was gonna say.
That was the best one though. So
yeah, I like that one a lot. If the other ones aren't as good, then I'm not that bothered to be watching.
Okay, well, yeah, not a lot going on, but the collab should be coming up soonish to we tell you what we think you should be watching from this season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I promise I'll write something myself soon, too.
I mean, the season's half over, but we'll tell you what to watch if you're really behind.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's what I would do. I pick the shows that I like, and then halfway through the season, boom, Anite tells me a few of the shows that I missed.
And
I'm like, wow.
I mean, it's not a bad strategy.
No.
Yeah. Or you could just be like me and just watch everything.
Everything.
That's don't be like Rick.
Don't you'll be like Rick. Just in general.
You'll end up like Rick, and that's not good.
Right. Yeah, I can't really recommend it.
Folks should also look out later in the year for the sequel guide for next season's. We're working on that in progress as well. So.
Oh, yeah.
That should drop early December, I think.
Early mid-December, somewhere in there.
That depends if Rick is writing for it, in which case it'll be early to mid-March.
No, I was given a strict deadline, so I refused because strict deadlines are my anathema. They're anathema to me. I will not ever agree to a hard deadline.
You know he's a writer when he uses words like anathema.
Yeah. But also I forgot to sign up for anything. So.
There you go. All right, well, you can always just listen to us talk about stuff, which is more exciting because you get our voices and we go real deep or real high. We talked about a lot of the best stuff already this season, so maybe we can just start off with some of the things I haven't really heard anything about, which, all right, let's go to Dr. Kev. Let's talk about Urusei Yatsura.
I love this show. I love Lum. She's the best girl ever. That's pretty much everything there is to say about Urusei Yatsura.
All right, moving on. Oh, go ahead,
yes, but what about Schrodinger's Lum nipples?
We have discussed this before. There are still no Lum nipples, but it's okay. I'm getting over it. It's fine.
It's not okay. It's a travesty.
There's heavy sigh every episode.
This is
bring
really
back
good
the Lum nipples.
They're doing it a bit differently to the original version. They really are introducing a lot of the peripheral characters very quickly, which does take some of the focus away from Lum, unfortunately. But what they've also done is they've streamlined some of the earlier chapters that maybe weren't so good and combined them with some of the later stories, which I think is working really well. It's definitely differentiating it from the original show because it means that we're getting to some of the stronger material a bit sooner. And they've also not yet introduced the really, really annoying little kid character. And maybe they're not going to. That would be wonderful because I can't stand him.
The anime exclusive in the original?
No, no, he does show up in the manga. But I mean, in the original, he shows up in like episode 2 or something. We're on episode 5 of the new one, and he's not shown himself at all yet, which is good. In fact, the last episode had one of my very favourite scenes of the entire franchise, and it was wonderful. I really like this show, and I think Lum, I just love her so much.
So, as someone who didn't watch the original, but likes watching old anime or old adaptations, I was kind of just watching it because, you know, it had a lot of voice actors that I recognize and really like. The animation's really nice and clean and colorful, and I just curious. And this whole time, I'm just like, why is everyone like Lum? I don't understand. She's so annoying. And then this last episode aired, I'm like, oh, she actually like has a lot of charm sometimes, and I really hope we keep going in with this. Because minor spoilers for a gag anime. A bunch of random boys in high school pulled a prank. He sent a fake love letter to the main boy, with name I forget at the moment.
Taru.
Chororu?
Ataru. Ataru. Think of it as like Atari, but with a U.
Atari, but Ru! Anyways. Yeah. Like, it's stupid hijinks ensue, and he goes, and they're waiting, and all the kids in school, like, go to follow him to the cafe, and, like, doesn't show up. And then Lum, like, just feels bad for him, and she poses as the girl that was supposed to be there, even though she was jealous of this girl who didn't even exist. It was just, like, the way they shot it, like, the lighting and the voice acting, and then, like, the way they walk home and have, like, that nice moment. Yeah, that's probably what you were talking about, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
but
that is, yeah.
I mean, that shows... told me on to keep watching it.
Yeah. And that's the beginning, really, of their relationship starting to get a bit closer. But it being a Rumiko Takahashi property, you know that's going to take like about 8 seasons to progress in any way.
Yeah, but, you know, when it comes like those moments of young love and innocent love, Rumiko Takahashi is a master of them. What she's not good at is resolving them in any kind of way. So she'll get there after 800 episodes, or never in some cases.
I fully expected that episode to end with some kind of bit where it's just like, oh, he saw a cute girl walking by and he chases after her, and they completely like dispel any kind of progress that they made. But no, it just ended in a good way. I was blown away, actually.
Yeah, you can't do that every time. You can't do what they call
Manga pretty much did it every time.
Right, but that's what they call a treacle cutter. It's where the sweet moment gets cut by a joke, and you can't do it every time or it ruins it. Like, you have to let the moment be nice sometimes.
Yeah, appreciate it.
But this scene is one of the reasons that I like Lum so much as a character. I mean, yeah, she's a bit fiery and a bit immature sometimes, but she really does have a heart of gold, and she really doesn't want Ataru to suffer humiliation. You know, she really does love him, and she sees positives in him, despite the fact that he is a total asshole. And despite himself, Ataru does start to see, you know, positives in Lum. I mean, for one, she's very pretty. But, she looks out for him. And I do appreciate that in her. She's not just a pretty face. There's a lot more to her. And so she's a good, you know, co-protagonist for the show.
But, I mean, let's be honest, Sakura is still the best. Everyone knows I'm a Sawashiro stand, so as soon as I heard that voice, I'm like, oh, here we go, and sure enough, she's great. And, you know, we're a little older than middle school, high schoolers, so it's nice to have a little older. She's like, oh, yeah, I don't feel weird liking this character, right?
A little older, yeah.
A little bit.
Who knows how old Lum is in space years? I mean, she could
probably
be
like 400, right? But we don't. Yeah. You look at them and you judge. That's how it works. Yeah. But yeah, if you're on the fence, I think a lot of people have said that the most recent episode really starting to take off. Looking forward to seeing where it goes from here.
Yeah.
God, is there any more weeb sentence than she's legal in space years?
That's a good title. We'll keep that in mind. Anyone else watching To Your Eternity Season 2?
No.
Who said yes?
I am. I'm watching it.
Okay. Well, we already talked about you, so...
Mm.
No, I'll let you take it because you're more eloquent than me.
I think the show's become more interesting. So it kind of tailed off towards the end of season one, but season two has kind of progressed a lot further into the future now.
Really quick, just like a clip jumping around.
Yeah, like several generations later, you know, it's like basically hundreds of years later, and society's changed around the main character. There's now basically like almost like a religion. In fact, there's two religions. The one's grown up basically worshipping him, and one has grown up sort of antagonizing him. It's interesting.
Yeah,
As he's this like immortal character, and he's not done very well to hide his immortality. Everybody knows there's this immortal dude who's changes shape, wandering around.
Like, he doesn't even care anymore. He's like, you should probably hide yourself. I'm like, why? Like, people are you're a god or sort of.
But he's hundreds of years old and he still does not understand the concept of friendship or lovers. It's like, all right, okay.
He's not human.
That's very true. But yeah, it's interesting. I want to see where it goes. I'm not sure about the new character, the sort of purple-haired, extremely effeminate camp prince dude, but
he's we'll kind of out of place with the tone of the show. It's like,
yeah,
weird.
It's like this is from a totally different anime. What is going on?
Yeah. It's always been weird, even with season one, where it's like, hey, we're going to show you all these characters in the endings. I'm just like, oh, well, these are the people that die. All right. I mean,
well, everybody dies inevitably. I mean, they did subvert that once or twice with people that, you know, actually didn't die and only died much later. And then the main character only realizes that they've died because he's then able to assume their forms.
Tears up and he's like, oh, well, I guess this means that. Like when he turned into the blonde girl, I'm like, oh, shit, well, I guess it's been long enough that she's gone.
Yeah, and maybe she died a natural death. You know, decades had elapsed.
Yep.
Still
a good show, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a show about the, you know, inevitability of death. That sounds great. I can't wait to watch that.
You don't like crying?
No, not really.
Oh. It also has like weird bits of humor to it too. That are pretty good.
But there's probably not enough boobs in it for Requiem. So
not nearly enough. He watches everything except the good stuff.
That is my role in the community. Yes.
Someone's got to do it.
It is your curse.
All right. Let's hear about. Did we talk about this last time? We did. We'll do last time stuff later. How about Beast Tamer, UMR guy?
Oh God, you're right. Somebody else is actually watching that.
Yeah, it is. Admittedly, it is very mid, but I'm still an episode or so behind. But I did think it was nice to see. Kind of spoilery, but the. He was kicked out of the heroes party, who are all just massive dicks. And, they realize, you know, that actually he was pretty good. So they've come back to try and convince him to, you know, do their scut work so they can eventually dump him again. Yeah. You know, because again, I repeat, they are all massive dicks. And so they like, you know, guilt him into trying to come and help them as he's about to like not, which I was like, yes, that's good. And you know, I'm sitting here going, you know, he should be like, well, that's your bleeping problem, not, you know, whatever. But then of course, you know, the heroes party and let me repeat, massive dicks, insults his cat spirit and dragonoid, you know, the beast girls he's already tamed. At which point they probably go and kick the shit out of the heroes party, which was like freaking fantastic that they actually went that route instead of, you know, wimping out. Although where I'm at, it looks like he's still going to go end up helping the heroes party out anyway. And maybe the latest episode, next episode from wherever I'm at. So that could be potentially disappointing, but for one glorious moment of like, yes, you know, somebody's actually gained the power is actually going like, hey, I don't have to put up with your shit and, you know, doing something about it. So very nice to see in a very otherwise mid show.
Yeah, I was surprised that they resolved that particular. I mean, yeah, he does go handle the thing they wanted him to handle, although he does it his own way. But I was surprised that resolved as early in the show as it did. Like, you knew at some point the hero was going to come back in and they were going to have to like throw down. I was surprised it was like episode 4 or episode 5, whatever it was. Yeah, it's a mid show, but it's fun. I really enjoy it. It's one of those shows like when I see it come up on a new episode, I'm like, ooh, okay. That's one of those really like fun, you know, dessert kind of shows where like it does not much substance, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah. And the nice part was, it threw down, it literally threw down. I, you know, there was, You know, not like, oh, we had wars of words. It was, no, kick the crap out of him.
He didn't try to take the high ground. He just punched his fucking ass. I liked it. It's a solid show. And it's not an isekai, so points.
Definitely.
Rare. Alrighty, we should give Rec something. He has a wall of shows. I don't even know. Rec, pick something. What do you want to talk about? That's right. Make you decide.
Crap, I wasn't ready for that.
You could have bowled something.
I didn't bowl anything.
Nope. We've talked about this one. Oh, you know, give me an update on Reincarnated as a Sword. I'm curious.
I still really like it. It's not... Once again, we're not shaking the earth here. We're not breaking any new ground. But it's just an isekai show with a little twist because he's a sword. But it's got, like, the world's most adorable cat girl as the main character. And they're a really fun little, dynamic. And I really enjoy watching that show. It can be really stupid sometimes, but it also be, dramatic. They draw the hell out of the action scenes. I'll give them that.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, they're doing some good work in the action sequence. And this last episode was basically almost entirely a fight sequence. So, I don't know. It's, once again, you're not going to get a lot out of it. It's not like you're not going to sit at the end of it and go, wow, my life has been changed. That really spoke to me. But it's a fun way to spend 20 minutes.
I'm watching it. I'm still quite enjoying it. Yeah, cat girl cute, cat girl hit things. It's not really much more than that.
Cat girl cute, cat girl fuck shit up with a sword.
Yeah. Yeah, to say that in the French way. Yeah, absolutely.
And he's like, I'm just glad that there's no perving going on the cat girl. That I really appreciate that.
Wow.
Lesser shows, she'd be a slave and, something.
But she is only like a child or something. She's not like 12 years old or something.
Yeah, she's like 12, 13, but like that hasn't stopped other shows.
That's true. I might not watch it if it started to become pervy. So it seems quite innocent so far, which is good. Because Catgirl is very cute and innocent, and I will kill anyone who sullies her.
Damn. Yeah, she's cute, and the sword guy, he's just living his best sword life,
Does he have like a ridiculous. Really deep voice?
Not really.
Not really. No. He just gets more and more ridiculously overpowered as time goes by. He keeps on absorbing skills from every bad guy that he kills.
I like that he's not doing the work, though. I like that she is still, good at fighting with, not necessarily just him saving her ass all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's very reminiscent of the slime isekai show because of the just gradually escalating ridiculous power levels. So hopefully he doesn't become a war criminal. I can't imagine it.
Is there an anime called... Oh, go ahead.
I don't see it. I doubt she's going to found her own nation. So
No. That, and the spider isekai is a lot like that as well, because the spider keeps on getting more and more powerful as time goes by. There's not as many stats in this, thank God.
They're a disembodied... this is an isekai?
Yeah.
I just kind of...
Yeah, reincarnated as a sword. It's literally in the title.
I mean, reincarnation existed before isekais, just saying.
Yeah. Catgirl's not a reincarnation. She's born in this world, and she just happens to find this Japanese dude who's now a sword. And she just stabs people with him.
Do things die, or is it just like, oh, and they fall back like Power Rangers?
They die and they turn into crystals, which then give skills. A bit like Danmachi.
And the body is still there. Like, remember, she killed the demon, and the demon's body was still there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with like... Okay.
They use the bodies for material, so she just fucking kills people.
All right.
In fact, at one point, she was literally standing on a stack of dead goblins.
Yeah.
I was like, Goblin Slayer would be very proud of this episode.
There's a lot less rape in this, though. So
that's good.
I don't think it really there's that much crossover with Goblin Slayer fans and Reincarnated as Sword fans.
I'm right here.
All right, okay.
That's the entire reincarnation. I'm sorry, intersection. That's what I meant to say. Anyways, yeah,
I am the two circles on top of each other.
I mean, I quite like Goblin Slayer, apart from the first episode, which was just horrible.
It went too far in the first episode.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was okay. And the movie was all right.
All right. I actually did want to hear about one of these at Reclisted. Bibliophile Princess. I was kind of on the fence. I never actually picked it up, but what do you think?
No, I really like it. It's very old-fashioned, you know, medieval setting, prince and princess, shoujo bubbles. It's old-school shoujo, but it's really well-written. So I've really been enjoying it, despite it not really being usually my thing. It's not my genre. I've really enjoyed it. It's kind of... This last episode, especially, they finally gave, like, the last couple of episodes, we've given the princess a little more time to breathe as her own character instead of just, oh, what? I'm actually the princess now? You know, she's a little flighty, but she's a fun character. It's, I don't know, if you like that old fashioned, you know, Rose of Versailles kind of shoujo, it's very much in that vein, and it's doing a pretty good job of it.
She's also really adorable.
She's really cute, yeah.
Yeah, between her and Catgirl from the sword thing, yeah, we've got lots of adorable girls this season.
It's really funny because she reads some in a book and she'll like mention it to the prince, and then she'll find out later that it turned into like national policy and she didn't realize it.
And she demonstrates a really good way to get rid of mean girls, because these girls start being really mean to her, and then she starts telling them about how to heal themselves using like raw meat juice or something.
Horse fat, that was it. Horrified
and sort of wander off, and she's like, did I say something wrong? That's great.
It's good for your lips.
Yeah, I like that she's smart. You know, I like when female characters are clever. I really don't like dumb characters at all. So that's a big plus for me.
I'm going to have to check it out. I'm surprised Rec branching out, watching Bibliophile Princess, Raven Consort. It's just like...
Oh, dude, Raven Consort is fucking great.
Especially now they're going more into the detail of her and like her backstory. I didn't expect all that. I thought we kind of knew the story, but then...
There's a lot more lore than I was expecting.
Yeah.
It's good, though. It's so good.
Is this a fantasy at all, or is it like sort of plain historical?
It has supernatural elements, because she can use a kind of magic, and there's ghosts and shit. But it's okay. Very rooted in like historical feudal China, right? Like all the action happens in what's essentially the palace, the Forbidden City.
Mm-hmm.
So the action never leaves that except in flashback. And it's just weird. It's such a weird show because it's such a weird mix of like, it's like a supernatural romance detective show period piece.
I mean, what sort of tone is it? Is it like very serious, or is there any sort of...
No, it kind of it goes back and forth between serious and funny. Like there are funny moments. Some episodes are more about comedy and some are a lot more serious.
I think it's a drama first, and like the comedic elements are just kind of like supplementing it. But yeah. Yeah, you think it's going to be about bunch of mysteries being solved, but now I don't know. Is it going to be more about her as a character? Is it going to be more about the Emperor? It's pretty interesting, and they do some visual tricks to make certain scenes feel different than others.
I love the way it looks. I really do.
Yeah, and also the main character, she doesn't really have... She's one of those typical characters who are like, oh, I have no social skills. I don't understand how people are, and seeing them grow from basically zero is always interesting, I think.
Yeah, it's a little different with her than like, you know, Bochy or the main character from Witch of Mercury, because it's not that she didn't have social skills because she had like anxiety. It's because she's literally not supposed to interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's been told that over and over again since she was a girl to take over this role. Is like, you need to stay here. You need to not talk to people.
And they did a good job in the most recent episode, or maybe it was last week, saying why she can't do that. It's like, you're just like, oh, well, it's one of those typical things where like the woman is like, you go off to the side, you can't do anything. Like, no, actually, this way is more kind of like, that's a good reason why you shouldn't. Yeah, I like it. Umar guy, I think you watch this too?
No, actually, I'm not, sorry.
Oh, did I write that in your box that you wrote it? Yeah, I did. Anyways.
I think you just wrote it in the wrong box.
Did I do that? Okay. That's weird. Okay. Anyways, let's talk about Tatami Time Machine Blues.
Oh, yeah. Has anybody else watched this?
I don't even know what it is.
Am I the only one? It's a sequel to the Tatami Galaxy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember. I heard that came out.
Yeah, so that just... So that appeared on the US in on Hulu and everywhere else, Disney Plus, just this week, a few days ago. So I'd never watched the Tatami Galaxy before. So last weekend I spent a while watching the entire thing. Damn. And the movie Night is Short, Walk On Girl, which were both directed by Masaki Yuasa, although he has not directed the sequel. It was instead directed by a guy who directed some of the episodes of Tatami Galaxy. You can't really tell the difference. It's very, very similar. I really, really like this. Has anybody actually watched Tatami Galaxy?
Yeah, I've seen all the other stuff, so I might have to check this out.
Yeah, it's fantastic. In fact, I think it's possibly more entertaining than the Tatami Galaxy. It's certainly more coherent as a story. So Tatami Galaxy was mostly individual episodes, although it did start to get a bit more serialized towards the end. Whereas this was released in Japan as a movie, but it's been cut into roughly 20-minute length chunks, and there is an additional episode at the end which wasn't released in the cinema, which acts kind of as like a prequel. And it's got all the same characters as the original series, but it's got quite a fun time travel mechanic in that there's actually a time machine in it. Whereas the original was about a guy who attends university. He's desperate to make the best of university life as he can, and he keeps thinking that he's making the wrong decisions by joining the wrong extracurricular club. And he blames the fact that he's wasted a couple of years of his life on these decisions. So each episode, at the end, time rewinds so that the next episode he's back as a freshman and he chooses a new club to join. So it's all sort of about parallel worlds and stuff. Whereas this one, it's the same world, but they keep going back and forth using a time machine. It gets really, really, really complicated and ridiculous with multiple versions of people interacting with other people, and nobody has a clue what's going on. It's very clever and it's very funny.
Do you retain memories of each time, each loop?
In this one, yes, because there's continuity between the characters. In the original, it was a bit unclear. I think sometimes the guy was like, "Haven't I been here before? Haven't I said this before? Oh, I don't know." Whereas this time, there's no ambiguity there. It's very clear that they have a time machine, which is basically a tatami mat with a small seat and a control panel on it.
That's awesome.
It's very, very funny, and it's not very long. It's well worth watching. You can watch it all in one go.
Oh, nice.
It's like, yeah, I know I watched Tatami Galaxy, but I can't remember anything.
It was so hard to follow. It's just like they talked really fast. Like, you're reading the subtitles, yeah. There's all the stuff going on screen. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, they still talk quite fast on this, but the subtitles are fine. It's the first anime that I've really watched on Disney Plus. I mean, of course, now they have Bleach and Black Rock Shooter this season as well. Still no summertime rendering. I don't know what the bastards are doing with that. But that finished broadcasting months ago. So.
Yeah. One day we'll all get to see it for the first time ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, imagine.
Definitely not the anime of the year. Because we haven't seen it.
We have got to get a Twitter, well, maybe not Twitter anymore. We got to get a social media movement of some kind to release the summertime rendering cut.
Shit. All right. Here's what we'll do. I'll make a Disney Plus account. You guys will all chip in, put in $2, pay for the $8 verified, and then we'll just spread the word.
Yeah. I don't know how much time we'll have before Twitter dies.
No. I hope this thing is grossly out of date when it comes out, like in a week and a half.
Well, they might do. I mean, they announced that Tatami Time Machine Blues was on Hulu like the day before it came out. Mm-hmm. They didn't really give anyone any warning. We knew that they had it. We didn't know when they were showing it.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, and their marketing's not very good. Although we did all know Bleach was coming. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I think a lot of people are watching that on Hulu.
Well, Hulu doesn't exist outside of the US. Hulu being owned almost entirely by Disney means that Hulu stuff gets put on Disney Plus everywhere else that's not the US.
Yeah. We don't really have to talk about... Oh, go ahead.
So the US is the aberration here.
Ah. No, everything's the US. We're always the right thing. The one main thing.
We're number one.
We have songs. We don't have to talk about Bleach too much. I just want to say that I, as a former Bleach fan who definitely fell off, I am still enjoying this new season. It's pretty great.
I was thinking about starting watching Bleach with my son.
From the very beginning?
From the beginning. Because it's now on Disney Plus in the UK. Presumably it's on Hulu in the US. And every single episode is there.
That first arc is so good.
Okay. I assume that there are, much like most shonens, guides online you can avoid all the filler. Absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Bleach has some of the most boring, awful filler. Just completely skip it.
It says something like about 45% of Bleach is filler.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like season one of Naruto. I mean, I don't know if season two happened, but yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm not watching that shit. I'll watch the actual canonical stuff with him. He's 11. Will that be okay, or is that really violent?
Yeah, it'd be fine, I think.
Pretty violent. I mean, the new season has like beheadings and blood all over the place, so it's not like you're not going to see viscera, you're not going to see gore, but you might see a good amount of blood. And 11's probably on the cusp. You're fine. It's fine.
I mean, we watch My Hero Academia together, so and it can be quite violent sometimes.
It can get the newest season, just like seeing people crumble apart into pieces, just like, oh my
God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've been watching that. We've been watching the dub version of My Hero Academia. And he's like, what happened to that guy? Like, he got turned into dust, darling.
Yo, mate, he did.
And what about that guy? He got turned into dust too. Oh, and what about them? Yeah, they all got turned into dust. All of them are dead. Oh, but who were they? Oh, I don't know. So these nameless heroes are just disintegrating.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as bad as when he first kind of discovered his power and he turned that dog into like a pile of curry.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but you know, if you watch Bleach from the beginning, he'll be 12 by the time you get to the bad stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe 13.
Depends on how fast you watch it. No, but
funny if you watch all the filler, you know.
Yeah, besides, you'll have to stop every couple episodes in the Bound arc because you won't be able to stand it. So.
God.
Is that
arc killed the Bleach for me. So. Now it's back.
It's an arc about fucking vampires and it sucks and it's completely... I think almost all of it was anime original.
But all the vampires are also embodied. They're like stuck in these stuffed animals. They spend most of their time in stuffed animals.
I made it all the way to the arc where the swords turned into people and I just couldn't do it anymore. I was like, fuck this.
Mm-hmm. I would say get to the end of Soul Society, read the manga, and then watch the newest anime. But do what you want. It's not bad.
Yeah, that first arc is fucking great.
It's cool.
All right.
Moving on. Yeah. Let's hear about Uzaki-chan Season 2.
Yeah. I love the first season. And the second season has come along pretty good. Keep up the same kind of quality, I think. You know, it's... Again, as you might expect, you get sort of a lot of the same kinds of jokes, but they're still keeping it fairly fresh. They're starting to move the relationship a little further, you know, kind of keep nudging that along. I'm not sure what their plans are to end up at the end of this season. And I haven't actually read the source material, so I'm not sure if, you know, if that ever even has been resolved or anything, but you know, they're applying hints that in theory, maybe it could be resolved. And then of course they find ways to circle things back around. But a big part of it is I am a stand for Naomi Ozori. I don't know what it is, but you know, the way she can screech isn't the right word, but you know, the Uzaki type voice, you know, right up there. So I don't know why, but I love it. I'm probably a terrible person, but...
Yeah, probably.
Why? Because she looks like she's way younger than she is, and she has that body? That's why?
No, I meant the voice thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it's obnoxious as hell to some people, but...
Yeah, some people seem to really find it annoying. I don't think it's the voice, though. I think some people just don't like that kind of character.
That makes sense, too. I'm not really a fan of the cycling back to way back the teasing shows. I think I watched a couple minutes of Teasing Master Takagi-san and just went, this isn't for me. I have no interest in this kind of thing. And I haven't watched any of the others, but you know, she is somewhat less about teasing him, I think, as opposed to, you know, some of it sort of is, but it's not really. It's not really a teasing show, I would say, in my opinion.
She wants to be friends.
Yeah, she wants to hang out because
Like, it's weird because I didn't really like this show or Takagi-san either, but I loved Nagatoro. So it's weird what makes it click for you, you know?
Yeah. And the other thing is, of course, I'm always, as I've said several times, you know, I love a good voice cast, and Naomi Ozori, Sayori Hayami plays Uzaki's mom. You know, another favorite of mine, and I'm blanking on her name, but she did Lifa in SAO. She was Nino in Quince. Is the girl who works at the coffee shop. You know, so always fun there. You know, so it's a great voice cast, you know, running this thing too. So just It's nice to see. Good second season seems pretty well keeping up.
More the same.
More of the same, but in a good way.
Okay. Do they have moments of heart? Like, is it just comedy, or they have moments where, like, they're actually genuinely nice and character development?
No, there's definitely some character development. Like I said, and then they kind of, like, because obviously you can't just, like, flip that switch. So they kind of sort of backtrack a bit, but you can see that they're sort of laying the pieces of the groundwork kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and then of course, because it's a comedy, then they go off the rails again.
Like that thing we were talking about earlier. What's the term?
Treacle
cutting
cutter.
The treacle. Treacle cutter. There it is. Yeah. In this case, it's probably definitely the time to keep using them. Probably somewhat more than you might otherwise want, but because it is heavily comedy. Well,
I think the manga is still running, so I like resolution probably isn't coming up anytime soon.
Yeah, although I mean, you never know with an anime, depending on what you're thinking. But yeah,
that's true. They could always go screw it. We're good. We're not getting a third season. Let's just have them hook up.
Yep.
Or have them hook up and then hit their heads and forget it. Looking at you, School Rumble.
Oh my god! Forgot about that.
Got amnesia after. You know, 37,000 episodes of that show. You'll finally get the confession. Got amnesia. I'm still mad.
Wait, that's how it ended? Man, I totally forgot most of that show. That's how it ended?
More or less.
That was an anime exclusive ending, though, wasn't it?
I don't know because I never read the manga. All I know is it pissed me. It's my second least favorite ending ever.
Well, now not counting
Gangster, which didn't end.
That's true.
But my least favorite ending of all time is Phantom Requiem for the Phantom. The ending, I literally flipped the table. Like, you know the thing you put in chat where a guy's flipping a table? I literally did that. I knocked the table over.
And now you don't have tables in your kitchen, in your living room anymore.
I don't, actually, because I broke it.
It's gone forever.
But yeah, God, the ending sucked.
All right, well, we got some more shows. I think I kind of wanted to talk about Chainsaw Man again. I know we probably talk about this a lot. And when the new season first started, it had a lot of hype around it. And I'm like, yeah, this show's pretty good. But the way that they're using animation to, like, convey characters, I don't know. I guess I'm not going to brag, but I think I have an eye for animation. I have a degree, but I'm not bragging. I notice these little details all the time. And whenever you have, like, the frames... There's just so many of them. There's just so much happening at all times. When they have a character just talking, they're always doing something. They're moving slightly. They're doing something with their fingers, pushing their hair behind their head. All these little details make the characters feel like you're part of that world. And then you see they have the weird shark teeth. I'm like, oh, I forgot, right? But yeah, every moment's great. The action's great. The conversations, they're written in a way where the characters feel like real people. They're not actually talking in a way that you would expect the melodramatic typical anime to be. They're not telling you, they're showing you. And I just appreciate the hell out of it, and I'm really, really enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, I have a degree. I am an expert in animation.
Oh, you sound like an asshole. Don't.
But, I mean, we're having this discussion in the collaboration chat right now where some people just aren't feeling the show. But a lot of that is like the chains of expectation. Like there was so much hype about the manga, and it's got such a hardcore fan base that people, you know, the fact that the first episodes are just, you know, fine, are being judged maybe a little more harsh than they would be if no one had heard of the show before. It does look good, though. I mean, there's that one scene with Denji and Makima in the last episode that was, holy shit, that was hot.
It's intense. Hot and intense.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I don't like when it goes to CG during fight scenes, but it doesn't bother me that much. It's just, I wish they had just drawn the damn thing.
A lot of the time, I don't even notice it, or if I think some of the stuff that people think CG actually isn't.
I agree.
Well, either way, however it looks, I don't like it.
I was completely off put from Berserk. I've mentioned this many times in this podcast, but like the writing in that show is great. Could not stand the visuals, so I jumped off. Chainsaw Man, not for like a second. There might be like a split second. I'm like, that looks odd. But other than that, I never noticed the CG.
Nah, this isn't anywhere near Berserk.
No. But like some of the people that I follow on Twitter, Elon Musk Twitter, they post their random Sakuga. They're like, hey, I did this one scene for this anime. I'm like, holy shit, they're just like pulling from all different places. And I feel like that style disparity is what people are noticing. It's not necessarily the CG. There's just like this part in the intro where he's like, he's in a ball of like something, or maybe he's like inside a demon. He's like screaming. That one scene was done by like a totally different person. And it looks totally stylistically different. I think that disparity is what people are kind of off-put by. Whereas I, as someone who's watched a lot of different, they have like little competitions and people would just do like a really short animation and then they put it all together. So you see all those styles all at once. I mean, Space Dandy, I think, is a good example of a show that had like a different director almost every episode. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing doesn't really bother me for the most part, but I think some people want it to be clean and cohesive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like, oh my god, I can't watch this. It's fine. It's not like a Yuasa, you know, show where I can't literally look at it with my eyes bleeding. But yeah. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just a thing where I'm like, I wish it wasn't doing that. But I'm enjoying the show. I like the character, especially now that we've gotten more of an expanded cast.
Yeah, as they had characters, is also getting pretty cool. I didn't think I liked Power, but now I really like Power. She's just like
Power's a lot of fun.
Goofy. Cat, I love that the cat didn't die. I would be so pissed if that. Oh, wait, spoilers. But
I like Power even more as it goes on because I've read the manga. She's a great character. I really like her.
And I think we got even more to come. So.
I like Eye Patch Girl so far. I think she's got a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy because every episode they have a new ending. And it's not like just this half-assed ending. Like most anime, usually expect the ending to be half the budget of the intro. Whereas here, it's just like, oh, you kind of made an episode in 2 minutes here with just the ridiculous amount of work you're putting into this. It seems like there's just so much love going into the show.
Mm-hmm. And some of those songs are great as well.
Like, the intro, as a ska fan, a self-proclaimed skank lover. I love that they are skanking in this fucking intro. And then a lot of the stuff is just referencing classic movies. I forget some of the names, but like he's rolling the bowling ball. Like that's directly from some movie. I forget the name of it.
Yeah, it's the Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski, right. There's a lot of that in the intro.
There's a lot of movie references in the first intro, yeah.
I can't tell.
The part where they're in the movie theater and they're all watching the movie because there's a lot of like character shorthand in that in the few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of the opening animation. At least, kind of reminds me of Jujutsu Kaisen.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of stuff about the characters, you know, in shorthand in the opening.
Yeah, you can pretty much get their personalities just from watching the opening.
Although they, you know, nothing comes close to that one where they're all like dancing and wearing fashionable outfits.
Mm-hmm. That song is so good too. Man, that and Spy Family, probably the best intros I've ever seen in one season. It's like crazy.
Oh, Spy Family doing some good work in that era.
Yeah.
Spy Family has the best facial reactions of any anime.
Yes.
Anya, every single scene, she makes that face. Did you guys watch yesterday's episode of Spy Family?
Yes. Yeah.
They were all singing about this gloomy boy, and she's the one character just like, what? He's like, hey, I got you this. He's like, I got you this leaf that was on the ground. Oh, man. Love it.
The part where he has to come back to school. Like, I felt that in my soul.
Yes.
Like that. Oh, my God. This is going to be the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me.
I was so glad that kid sucked. I'm so glad that happened.
He had to walk back into school. Like, no, it turns out everything's fine. Sorry about that whole thing.
Yep.
That's such a kid thing to do.
I like that one of Anya's teachers is scared of her already.
Yeah.
In my 30 years of teaching, I've learned to know.
Mama becomes the wind. That part was fun, too.
She hasn't killed anyone yet. Kill someone! You're an assassin!
Oh, no, dude. That one guy she thought was kidnapping Anya, she bounced off the walls. Oh, probably. Yeah, he may not be dead, but he probably wishes he was.
He's probably like Batman. He wished he was dead.
Like, that guy was not okay.
Nope.
The fact that she's an assassin really hasn't come up in this season much at all, except for comedic value.
Didn't really come up in the last season either. She doesn't murder anyone. It's just a sham. It would probably make her less likable, to be honest, if she kills somebody. That'd be a real bad guy.
It's got to come up at some point, I'm going to imagine.
I mean, it worked for Andor. Why not Yor? Oh, you know what? I was going to talk about the One Piece movie.
Do we have
to? Yeah, One Piece Red. I'm going to be very briefly. It's kind of like a musical. There's like 6 original songs written for this like brand new character who is apparently canon for one of the main characters in the franchise. Very strange. The first half was kind of dragged on a bit. Like, hey, here's a bunch of cameos and here's a bunch of songs that are actually pretty good, to be honest. But kind of hard to follow because it was just like all over the place. It all took place like during one day. And then during the second half, there were some really great character moments and like some great action scenes. A certain character comes back that we haven't seen in a very long time in the anime. So, I don't know. If you're a One Piece fan, I would honestly say this is probably the best original story they've written for a movie. So, it's pretty good.
Would it be comprehensible to anyone who has never seen One Piece?
There's not much reason to watch.
I don't think One Piece in general is comprehensible to anyone who hasn't seen One Piece. Maybe even to people who have seen One Piece.
Pretty wacky.
I was going to say, I've seen One Piece and none of this shit makes any sense to me.
Eat the fruit, he took a bite of gum. We know this.
Yeah. How'd that happen? Yo-ho-ho, he took a bite of gum.
Yep.
Except he's not stretchy. He's actually like Joy Boy or some shit now. I don't know.
What?
His powers changed or some horse shit.
I don't want to hear any long spoilers in here, right?
Stop making this show.
What? No, I like it. Keep making it forever.
End the show. Let that poor man do something else with his life.
No, he only wants one thing, then he's dead.
Okay.
Creators don't want to do more than one
thing. Sure they don't.
That's not true at all. That's not true at all. Anything else we want to talk about before we get into the news?
I did watch... I don't even know why, but I started watching Eden Zero on Netflix.
Why?
I don't know. Because I got really tired of Fairy Tail and abandoned it about halfway through.
That's good.
But I kind of like Eden Zero so far. It's fun. Literally, it's the same character designs as Fairy Tail, just kind of mixed up. And all once again, he still draws all of his women the same.
Excellent.
They're all thick and they all got huge tits, and the camera's on them all the time.
Eden's Zero. Got it.
But it's, and really what I thought was really interesting is that it's basically a fantasy story set in space. Like, it's a very fantasy version of sci-fi, but it's kind of neat. It looks really interesting. So far, like, it hasn't worn out its welcome on me like Fairy Tail did.
Is it a long one? Is it still going?
Obviously the manga's still going, but there's only 24 episodes up on, up on Netflix, so I imagine it's going to be like Fairy Tale, where it just runs forever. And eventually, I'll probably get tired of it, too.
The other thing that's on Netflix that I'm sure you would really like would be the romantic killer thing that we talked about last time. That seems like the sort of humor that would be really up your street, Rick. Very funny.
I did watch the trailer. I was like, oh, this seems like it might be funny. I just haven't gotten to it.
It's really good. I think it's very funny, and I like it a lot. Maybe that means you'll think it's terrible, I suppose. But
humor is incredibly subjective.
But considering your past history of humor, I think you would probably appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll probably definitely try it at some point. Hey, Eden Zero. I was surprised I liked it, but I did. So far.
I think I just want to reiterate that Bocchi the Rock is still fantastic. That's all.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone is extremely positive on that show.
And DIY, do it yourself.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes. Oh hell yes.
And when Anate is digging that one too.
Oh my God, the beach. It's one of the best beach episodes I've ever seen.
Yeah, it wasn't like itchy at all. It was just like fun. You know?
Yeah, it was just fun. It had all these great little character moments, and someone, the guy who, or I think it's Rebecca actually, who interview or covers it for ANN, mentioned that all of the girls' swimsuits match their personalities really well, and I hadn't even noticed that until he mentioned it. But there was right, you know. It's that kind of visual design, like details, that really elevates the show. Like all this thought gets put into detail like that.
Yeah. Is it weird that I was just kind of irked by the fact that they had a fuck ton of stones? Like, where do they get this many stones?
Oh, the sea glass?
On one beach? How did you get that many?
Yeah, yeah. If there aren't a lot of other beachcombers in that particular area, maybe they, you know, I'm just surprised a beach they didn't come across any hypodermic needles or broken bottles, because that's a lot of ice on the beach.
Is that what it's in Japan? I think they're cleaner. I'd like to think so.
I would want to hope so.
People don't do drugs in Japan, right?
I mean, God knows that the consequences are a lot more dire there.
Yeah, way worse.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do them in Japan, I'll tell you that. It's not worth it.
No.
I will admit, you know, it just watching that episode, the beginning when it's like, you know, why are we going to the beach? And my first thought was, well, because it's a cute girls doing cute things anime. There's an obligatory beach episode. Why else?
Mandatory.
But, you know.
I mean, they had one in The Alchemist show. That was a fun one, too. They got some tentacles in there.
Did you say tentacles?
Yeah, it's a beach show in a fantasy world. That means at some point, something with tentacles is going to get attacked, you know?
All right. I'm going to mark that as having talked about. And let's get into some news. Why don't we just start off with a bit of a sad story, Requiem. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hate to talk about this one. I hate that we have bad news so often on the podcast, but
getting there.
For my generation and probably the generation right after me, the man who is Batman, Kevin Conroy, who voiced him in Batman the Animated Series, the Batman Arkham games, and Batman Mask of the Phantasm, which is still the best Batman movie ever theoretically released, to my opinion, passed away at age 66 from cancer, which we didn't even know he had cancer. He didn't really announce it. He just, you know, he didn't want that to be a thing.
Yeah, I had no idea. When I heard 66, I'm like, what? What happened? But yeah, I guess that was a thing.
Yeah, he was sick for literally just a short while, then passed away. Like I said, he kind of kept it to himself.
He literally tweeted on Halloween. He looked fine. I was like, what? Okay. I thought it was some Twitter BS, but no.
Yeah, it's there are certain things, you know, when a celebrity dies, you know, you didn't know the person, obviously. I never met Kevin Conroy, but if their work was important to you, especially as a kid, it hurts. Like when Alex Trebek died, it hit me kind of personally because, you know, Jeopardy was such a big part of my relationship with my dad. So Batman the Animated Series and Batman Mask of the Phantasm and Batman Beyond were all such like big parts of my fandoms when I was a kid. I loved those shows. And in fact, he just like, and obviously we didn't know he was sick, so he's just gone. It was that was a little hard for me to kind of accept. It's like, you know, when a part of your childhood just got shot like right off of you. Mm-hmm. But he was a remarkable voice actor. He was he is Batman. Like that's what Batman sounds like in my head when I read a comic from now until the end of time. So he's irreplaceable and, I hope his family's doing okay.
I think going forward,
fuck cancer.
Yeah,
that too. I think going forward, a lot of people will take the same interpretation for Batman's voice, and just as a person, like whenever like something that I care about dies, I'll check Twitter and I'll just like look through all the comments and everyone, like some celebrities chiming in, just saying how he was just a general great guy to work with too. So
he was apparently he was an incredibly nice guy, like Diedrich Bader, who played Batman in Batman Brave and the Bold. And he got a lot of shit basically for not being Kevin Conroy. He said that, you know, Kevin was super nice to him and gave him a lot of tips. And yeah, that's the guy. That's the kind of guy he was, apparently.
Yep.
I don't know what else to say except this fucking sucks.
All right. Well, let's try and make the impossible pivot to Dr. Kev's story. This is emotional for many people on the internet. After 25 years, something amazing happened. Go ahead, Dr. Kev.
Well, I'm not sure how amazing, because this is about Pokemon, something that I care very little about, but I'm sure plenty of other people do. Ash Ketchum, who's the main protagonist of the Pokemon anime, finally becomes the world's greatest Pokemon trainer after only 25 years as a perpetual 10-year-old.
He looks great, you know?
He's got a great tan in the Alola region, and now he just looks fantastic.
I know. I'd really like to know what his daily routine is so that I can also look like an eternal 10-year-old. In the most recent episode of Pokemon Ultimate Journeys, the series, apparently he defeats a Charizard belonging to Leon, who was the champion of Pokemon Sword and Shield Galar region. And that must have been in the game. And this is at the final bout of the Pokemon World Coronation Series Masters 8 tournament, which pit champions from across multiple regions against one another. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he won the end. Hooray.
Hey. He's finally the best, like no one ever was.
And he can retire, and Pokemon will be cancelled forever. And I don't know.
There is actually speculation that he may be retired as the main protagonist going forward because he's finally reached the mountaintop, you know.
We should do a time leap. He can be the sensei and get a new kid. Maybe his name's Blue. I don't know.
I just want to point out for all the
Pokemon kid.
Yeah. Point out for all the Professor Oak, Ash's mom shippers. They were sitting next to each other at the tournament.
Hell yeah.
Right. Just pointed out.
I thought Oak was already his dad, actually.
Pretty much.
I mean, although I'm
but congratulations to Ash. It only took you 25 years and 10,000 episodes to do the thing.
Even though I'm not a Pokemon fan, I feel I've probably already watched at least half of those 10,000 episodes because I've had like 3 children, all of whom are very into Pokemon and have been into Pokemon over many years. So I feel slightly overexposed to Pokemon.
Oh. What does that say about you as a parent? Watch where your kids are watching. Come on.
It's
a little old for Pokemon, but I did a couple years for Christmas. I have 3 younger brothers scattered across 14 and a half years younger than me age range. And yeah, but several VHS tapes because this was like the 90s, baby, you know, for them for Christmas with 2 or 3 episodes each on them. So,
yeah, I could probably recite the entirety of the Pokemon the first movie word for word.
Oh my god.
The amount of times that I have seen that.
Well, give us just a little something? Just a little bit?
No. Define them as his real quest and to train them as his cause. He's got to catch them all.
Pokemon. Yeah.
That's his new goal, right? He's finally the best like no one ever was. So now he has to go catch them all. And I think there's 1,000 Pokemon now. So good luck, Ash.
Give or take. New game coming out in like a week. As of this recording, the game is out. So, or if you're a filthy, filthy pirate, you've already beaten it. Congrats.
Good luck catching Arceus.
Let's get to some real news, UMR guy. What you got?
Yeah, so it's reported by the folks over there at Anime News Network and elsewhere, I'm sure. The creator of Kaguya-sama Love is War, Aka Akasaka, has apparently retired from actually drawing manga just to focus on writing. So apparently he announced a week and a half-ish or so ago that he's going to, pretty much, as I said, stop doing the drawing and art part of the manga. So he used the word gensaku, which literally means original work, but which typically in the context of manga production is actually more about the task of writing the story rather than drawing the art, and that he's intended Kaguya-sama to be his last manga, which he did the drawing for. Hmm. Although that he still plans to draw as a relaxing hobby.
That's good.
That's always good, yeah.
So, I mean, with all the AI algorithms doing the art for you, why bother getting paid for it?
Yeah. I also note that they say that you know, he even noted that he ended Kaguya-sama recently with some foreshadowing that he's working to, quote, make good on that in the best way possible. So that maybe there could be, I suppose, potentially be an exception where maybe he does some drawing for that or something. But
I assume it's just because of Rule 34 he's going to throw up on the internet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or it could be that, you know, take your pick.
But, he's a very busy guy recently because he's been writing and drawing Kaguya-sama, but he's also been writing Ushinoko as well, which is drawn by someone else. So he's really been writing two manga and drawing manga at the same time. I don't know if this man actually sleeps.
Yeah, I was going to say, with the kind of pace manga has to be produced in Japan, it's probably a good way. It's probably the only way for him to keep going without burning out would be to give up one or the other. So it's probably a good thing in the long run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ushinoko is getting an animated adaptation at some point next year. And I do worry about his mental state because that manga is absolutely bonkers. It's really, it's the product of a diseased mind. It's great. But I think maybe he does need a nice long rest, possibly in a padded cell.
Or maybe that's the outlet, you know?
Yeah, it could be.
You put all the bonkers stuff into the stories.
Please don't take his manga away from him. No one will be safe.
Everything I hear about that manga is like, oh, that's interesting. And it varies from that to, oh, that sounds horrible. That sounds interestingly horrible. So good luck adapting that one.
Yeah.
The first episode is going to be like 90 minutes long or something. Because it takes that long in the manga to actually get to the central premise. Because it's so out there. I'm not going to spoil it here.
It couldn't be any weirder than Eminence and Shadows' first episode.
Well,
let's focus on a character who never shows up again. Literally cannot show up.
There are some elements of that.
All right, I got some news. This is sort of anime related. It's made a character from Japan known as Sonic the Hedgehog. Maybe you guys are familiar. Sega is opening up a job listing for Associate Manager of Lore. And I thought this was pretty interesting because as franchises get long in the tooth, you're going to have these crazy fans pissed at you. Like, you forgot that Tails actually had a mole on his left butt cheek. Like, all these little things. I don't know if that's true. But there's just all those little details you got to know. In their words, they said the position would be... Hmm?
As it's speaking of Rule 34.
Oh, my God. I just did a Sonic fan character, literally my last commission. I like the guy who commissioned me, but that was awkward. Anyways, you will be immersed in the organizing and shaping of Sonic lore, canon, characters, and universes, helping to bring consistency, connectivity, and creativity, all C's, to all things Sonic across various forms of media, including games, animation, comics, and more. And they must have just misspelled movies, because I don't know what else is there. So.
Well, they have two new animated series.
Is there any continuity between Sonic games anyway?
A little bit.
I need to know how Sonic Pinball works in.
You throw it in the Pinball? Fucking trash.
Fuck you. Sonic Pinball was a great game.
That game has like four levels and two are unplayable.
Oh, whatever.
Have you beaten it?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did when I was a kid and I actually had fucking reflexes.
Yeah, now you can have to use your feet.
And what about the different versions of the Sonic games for the Sega Master System and for the Sega Genesis? I mean, there's two versions of Sonic and there's two versions of Sonic 2, which is the real canon version. I guess that's why they're paying someone.
The one for the Genesis, trust me. Well, the Master System version of Sonic 2 was bad.
No, it was not. It's a bloody good game.
The mechanics are good, but the graphics are a huge downgrade.
Of course, because it wasn't a very powerful machine, but they did well with what they had. I like both of those games.
I hate your optimistic attitude. That game sucks.
It does. I just imagine possessing such a depth knowledge of Sonic lore between like the games and the comics and the shows, the three or four different Sonic animated shows that there have been to take this job. So I'm assuming that our friend Luigi will be applying.
Oh, I hope so.
I would love a job like that in a franchise that I've actually got knowledge of. Because I think if you're a nerd like us, or weeb, whatever.
Whoa, what?
Or geek. Yourself. If you're a hardcore fan, like that's the dream, is that your job is to make sure they don't make continuity errors. Yeah. Like, Imagine being a Star Wars, a Star Trek fan, and being hired to do something like that. Or, like I said, being the chief Godzilla officer at Toho, which is a real job that somebody has, and I hate that person because that should be my job.
Honestly, I wonder if this has anything to do with when they brought on Tyson Hess, who I forget what his initial job was, if he was like at the comics or something, but they brought him on and he helped fix the movie, and then he made the second movie even better. Maybe they saw like, oh, well, maybe fans are better at this shit than we are, so let's just hire one of them to like take control and go to all the different departments and make sure everything is cohesive. So
I mean, yeah, that second movie was just loaded with like obvious Sonic, you know, game references. Like, it was really good.
The second movie was a Sonic movie. The first movie was a movie with Sonic in it, basically. Mm. That wedding scene was dumb, though. I don't know why they did that.
Well, yeah, the second movie, they basically said, right, fuck all these live-action characters, except for Robotnik.
One big act, one scene.
Yeah, except for Robotnik, but Jim Carrey's basically a cartoon anyway.
Yeah. And now
he was great, too, by the way.
He's pretty good.
I love to see, as a kid of the 90s, you know, well, the late 80s and 90s. I love to see Jim Carrey back doing what he does best, which is be ridiculous.
Yeah, it was cool. I like the second one. We got one more news story. I'm going to go back to Dr. Kev. I was not familiar with this anime movie, but apparently it's coming over. Just go ahead. I can't remember.
Yeah, Masaki Yuasa's most recent movie, Inuo, which I went to the cinema a few weeks ago to see, is absolutely fantastic. And it is getting a digital release in the US in December, and then it's getting a Blu-ray release in January. So I think anyone who likes his movies definitely would have a good time. It's like a medieval rock opera set in Japan. It's like a sequel to the Haiki story TV show that the Science Sunru, the studio did, and it's just fun. It's really psychedelic and bonkers and musical, and it's about of this monk guy who becomes a rock star, playing his biwa like an electric guitar, and grows his hair really long, starts wearing lipstick and scandalous clothing, and it's really good. It's right up Hybrid Street, actually.
So, oh shit.
Yeah, so hopefully if it gets a US release, it'll get a release in the UK as well, because even though I've seen it, I definitely want to buy that and watch it again on Blu-ray. It's fantastic. It's one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, we're getting some good anime movies these days. Mm. Lucky. A lot of times they don't even come to theaters around certain areas, but now they just show up all over the place.
Yeah.
That's good for that. Let's see, how far are we? Oh, we're pretty good. All right, let's get into the topic of the... Oh, wait, you know what? Reincarnated the Slime Season 3 announced. Congrats, everybody. We did it.
Yeah.
Woo!
Give me more. Like some people thought it already had a third season because they didn't notice
the long.
Well, yeah, because both seasons were two cores, and there was Slime Diaries, by the way. So.
There's a movie coming out as well, but the movie's like an anime original story. It's got nothing to do with the actual original novel.
Probably just skip it. I don't know.
Watch Slime Diaries, by the way. I really recommend it.
It was boring as hell.
What? I love Slime Diaries. I thought it was adorable.
I watched like two episodes. It put me to sleep.
Nah. What do you
know? I have a hard time sleeping.
Okay.
Yeah. It was okay. It was great.
Shots fired.
It was a good time.
Just okay. So, are they super chibi, and it's just some bullshit thing where, like, and they're in school? What is it?
No. It's like side stories set in, you know, this little city and country, and it's basically slime with all like the little slice of life elements that happen in between, like these big dramatic moments and the big battles or whatever. It's just them all like hanging out, basically, and it was fun. A lot of the episodes are about him like introducing some Japanese element to the society and watching the society go nuts with it.
Let me show you how to make natto.
I think natto did show up at some point.
I fucking knew it. All right. Mochi?
Mochi definitely shows up multiple times. They make little mochis that look like him.
Yeah. Bunch of festivals and stuff.
Yeah, a bunch of festivals. Like, it's funny because they keep like certain elements keep worshiping him and he fucking hates it. He's like, stop doing that. There's a running joke where the other girl characters want to put him in dresses and in female clothes because he's androgynous.
That's hilarious.
It's funny in context, sir.
Rumakun does it better. All right.
Rumakun does everything better.
Except animation. All right, let's move on to the topic of the episode. In the wake of the, well, not so recent, but we've been seeing more and more about the new Nier Automata anime, and we were thinking, what is a video game that you think could make for a good 24-episode anime? This was specifically recommended, I think, by Deck. Not just 12 episodes. No, we want 24, okay? So damn. Let's go to the community. We got a few answers here. Starting from the top here, we have Mom Luigi and Pizza brought up Dragalia Lost because it was ending. I don't know if I played a little bit of this game, but
what was wrong with the
anime is hell. So what?
What was wrong with the ending?
It's ending. You know how it's a mobile game, so they have like services and they keep updating, and then eventually they kill it. This is ending now. I don't know how it ended, to be honest. So
wait, so do they want an anime of it because it's ending or because the ending was bad?
I don't actually know. They didn't give a reason, but
oh, okay.
I don't remember the writing being particularly great. It was kind of typical anime nonsense. Yeah, I just figured I'd bring it up because two of them said it, so I might as well bring it up. Mama Luigi also said Pikmin. That'd be a pretty good slice of life anime, and I don't know if you guys ever saw, but the creator of Mario, Zelda, and Pikmin created his own movies with Pikmin in them. I don't think he did the CG animation. He probably just directed them or something. But those kind of exist, but not in anime form. So let's have that.
I'd rather have a Zelda anime, but okay.
Yeah, no one said Zelda at all.
Zelda, maybe they all have bad memories of the Zelda animated series from the 90s where he was like, bad memories or me, princess.
Thank you. I didn't have to ask. You just did it. We all have good memories of that. Thank you.
Sure, we do. Yeah. Great memories.
I just remember the sound effects being cool. Like, wow, this is from the game. It's in the show.
Well, then you probably love Captain N, the Game Master.
No, it was so bad.
Oh, fuck you.
So bad.
I love Captain N. How dare you, sir?
You just like the cameos, and you liked that the Simon Belmont looked like a Ghostbuster. That's all you like.
Simon Belmont was hysterical in that show. And Tiny Mega Man.
I'm Mega Man.
Fucking Eggplant Wizard. Eggplant Wizard for Smash
Brothers. True evil.
Put him in Smash Brothers, damn it.
Moving on. Ray Kaze says Mega Man Zero would be a phenomenal anime, and I agree. We got four games to choose from. Put them all into one 24-episode chunk. Works out. Let's see.
Like, what's Stin, the plot?
What's up?
Like, what would be the plot?
So, I don't know if you played Mega Man X, but in Mega Man X5, I think it was X5, I think Zero kind of dies or he falls off a cliff. It's been so long. And Mega Man X6 kind of like revives him and takes him a different direction, whereas Mega Man Zero goes in the direction that the original creator wanted it to go, where we jump ahead like 100 years and somebody finds him in like a capsule and they reactivate him. And there's like this big resistance movement that they need him to help. And the leader of the leader of like the Empire is... it's either Mega Man X himself or a version of X that's like corrupted. It's been a long time, I forget. But it's the first game has like a really interesting story and also really inspiring on my art at the same time. But there's four of those things and it has a conclusive ending. You could totally do like two seasons of that.
Okay.
Yep. There you go. Another good one is from Stin. It says, what about Hollow Knight? Let's make it into a Maiden Abyss spinoff. I don't know about the spinoff part, but you can make it feel kind of like Maiden Abyss.
You'd have to spend some real money there to match the animation.
Oh, yeah. Let's just assume endless budget for all of these things.
Yeah, if you like UFO Table wanted to make a Hollow Knight show, I'd be up for that.
Would they have a character that would talk? Because there's no like discernible dialogue other than like the NPCs. And even then, they're just like, wah, 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 and they like a weird bug language.
Mm. Well, you want to believe they would just leave the bug language and have subtitles, but they probably make the characters talk.
I mean, they could do it. I think fans would appreciate the weird bug language instead. Anyways, that's a good game, and I agree. Going back to Mega Man real quick. Mega Man XC... I think he said series. Mega Man X series would be the best, of course, because Zero would still be in the spotlight, and Vile is a great villain. Sigma is the best Dr. Willy you can find. That's right, Dr. Willy. That was in this one. Tenchigami says Blue Reflection, which I always thought was just a graphic novel or visual novel, but I actually have no idea how that game plays.
Didn't that get an anime?
I don't know.
I thought it did.
It did get an anime. It was rubbish.
Oh, shit.
Well, maybe he wants a good one. That's what he means.
He wants a good one. Let's see. Viking mentioned the Deedlit and Wonder Labyrinth, which is funny because obviously it's based on an anime. But do we want an expansion focusing on Deedlit? I think yes. For Record of Lotus War.
Oh, shit. That's why that sounded familiar. I was like, why does that sound so familiar?
Yeah.
I mean, any new Record of Lotus War anime gets the okay from me.
I don't know. After the first season, it got kind of meh.
Yeah, I mean, the first season was clearly the best, but I liked all of it.
All right. T-Grip gives us a crazy recommendation. Need for Speed, just make Tokyo Drift series. I don't know, guys. You think a racing anime would work? I don't think so.
I mean, there aren't that many good ones.
Well, I mean, if you threw some Eurobeat in there, then it becomes 10 times better.
Yeah, I mean, you know. If you drew it exactly like Speed Racer, I'd probably love it. Do like a Urusei Yatsura like refresh on Speed Racer. Make it look 60s as fuck. I'd be down.
I'd watch that.
Well done by PA Works, like they did for all the car scenes in Shirobako.
Yeah, those are really good. Let's see what we got here. Right, Zeno mentions Toho Genso Wanderer would be a chaotic, insane series. Yes, I mean the Mystery Dungeon one. The story is batshit, even for Toho. And I know there was like a little Toho anime at some point, maybe two. I watched an OVA, I think. Been a long time. So they could do something, a bunch of maids flying around, dodging bullets.
It would have some trouble beating Akiba Maid War.
Yeah, I mean, they can't match up that. It would probably be moy as hell. It wouldn't really be any substance. I don't really know too much about Toho. I'm probably pissing Toho fans off, but I'm just like, okay, it's a bunch of colorful maids. I played that spinoff game with the girl with the knives. That was all right.
I'm not sure we're seeing a problem there, but you know.
It's for some people. Red Zeno also mentions Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE, which is one of the most anime-ass games I've ever played. And I don't know if I wanted an anime base on it. So,
I love that game. I think that would make a good anime.
Combat was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Fun combat.
Yeah. Really, really good combat mechanics. I don't remember much about the story.
Wasn't that like a merge of like two? It was like
Fire Emblem and Shin Megami Persona? Tensei. Yeah.
Very faintly. It barely, like, it was supposed to be this really cool, like, collaboration everyone was excited for. And I was like, oh, it's, pop idols, and you can kind of summon weird variations of old Fire Emblem characters. That was pretty much the only thing.
It's like the Personas were Fire Emblem characters, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, and I do remember this. I didn't play it, but I remember it.
It's good. It was on the Wii U, but it got a re-release on the Switch.
It sold 10 copies.
Yeah, well, so there was only 20 Wii U's anyway.
I have the Wii U
and the special edition of it, so... Mm-hmm. Let's see. We have a couple people want Studio Trigger to get behind and I think Studio Trigger feels like video games when you're watching it. I don't know. It's just like it's the way they make stuff. Coda says No More Heroes, and That's My Pizza said Killer 7, which only 2000s kids would know.
Oh my god, Killer 7 as an anime? Maybe it would make more sense.
You're fucked.
I don't understand that game at all. I have it for PS2 and I played it. I was like, what even is this? I don't understand.
The game would make more sense if you made an anime out of it. I would watch it though, especially if Trigger made it, because that would be perfect for something that fucking weird.
Yeah. Suda 51 is the director of both those games, and that's from Studio Grasshopper, and they are really just missing out on a bunch of their games. They should just adapt to anime. They'd work.
Yeah, they do very Western. Lollipop Chainsaw should be an anime.
Yeah.
They're remaking that game, so I'll play that.
No More Heroes is like, it was basically an anime anyway.
It was an otaku game. So it's like, here's a crazy American otaku, and he's just way into all this shit. And Suda 51 basically takes everything he likes and puts it into every game he makes. He likes luchadors, he likes American cinema, and he likes extensively talking about both. And it's just so fucking pretentious. It is easily the most pretentious game I've ever played, No More Heroes. But at the same time, it's kind of fun, too. Make an anime.
I'd love a Final Fantasy anime.
What's that?
I just the more I think about it, the more I'd really like a Killer 7 anime.
Yeah, I would absolutely watch that. For anyone who doesn't know, Killer 7 is about assassins, or it's sort actually of. Just one assassin, spoilers, inside of an old man in a wheelchair's body. And he's it's like a weird on-rails first-person shooter, but it's stylish as heck.
Yeah, it's super weird, but it's super interesting. Perfect trigger, really. Reprehensible. Yeah, it doesn't make any fucking sense. So, like, maybe if you made an anime, you'd be able to, like, it's kind of like if you ever watched 2001: A Space Oddity, and you're like, "What the fuck is happening here?" Then you read the book, and it makes perfect sense. Maybe they could do it like that.
Why don't we just make a anime of that? What are we waiting for?
Oh shit, I'd be down for that. Like a 75-hour long anime
by Studio Dean. Or Polygon Pictures. Woo.
Okay. Oh fuck you.
All right. Moving on, Final Fantasy 15 or Final Fantasy 10, which is funny because neither of those are the best Final Fantasy, but hey, they got story, I guess, right? They're the only ones with plots that are short enough, says Arcane.
I mean, Final Fantasy 6.
I mean, any of the Final Fantasies before 7 are short enough to be an anime, in my opinion. Yeah.
Just make an anime of 8-bit theater.
Yeah.
don't. Oh my god.
No.
That what? Wrong, but terrible. No. Come on. Oh, go back and read it today. And tell
I
have read
it. It's fucking I mean, it goes all the way
you. I'm sorry. I forgot.
Okay. It's really funny most of the time.
Most of the time. Sword Chucks. Hilarious.
Sword Chucks. Dr. Swordopolis.
Amazing. How is he, okay. He's putting words into other words. It's hysterical.
All right. Whatever. I want an anime. Give me Fighter in an anime. I love it.
Umar, what's up?
I was thinking maybe redo a Final Fantasy 12 anime, sort of around, I guess, the original idea, which didn't involve the kid who's the theoretical main character and his friend, you know, focus on the princess and the sky pirate and those folks, maybe their adventures before and or after or something that might be.
Guys of Arcadia. There would be.
Yeah, make, yeah. What's his name? Vaughn was the quote-unquote main character.
Yeah.
Make him like a joke character that just like keeps getting beat up and just like, hey guys, what's up? He just shows up randomly and they just like, get the fuck out of here, stupid kid.
Nah, do it as like sort of a spinoff. You know, it's around the
like other Revenant folks. Wings. That was the DS game.
Anyways, I could maybe see it. The question, the length of the plot's a good one, but you know, potentially the first Final Fantasy 13 for all the issues. But I mean, it's up there. It's, you know. Definitely that kind of storyline that you probably run through for a anime type thing.
Yeah, I mean,
Final Fantasy 15 feels like he wanted to make an anime movie anyway.
I felt like they didn't want to make anything because it was just a haphazard mess. I don't even know what that game was.
Damn, shots fired.
It was okay. I really loved it when I played it, and every day I played it again, I hated it more. Until finally I'm just like, wow, what the fuck? You didn't even have an intro, so you took the movie and threw a clip in there in a patch because you didn't have enough story in your game? Jesus Christ.
I own it. I have not actually played it. I have actually played more of the Pocket Edition when they did the port for PS4 than I have of the original one.
So for 15, they did a whole bunch of DLC, and I guess that makes the game a lot more cohesive, a lot more understandable, and just better all overall. But I don't know. It's all right. I think Final Fantasy VI would be awesome, but we all love Final Fantasy VI. And I think when you said 12, I agree. That'd actually be a lot of politics in Final Fantasy 12 that would go well for a story. Speaking of Square Enix.
I mean, the best thing that, say, making an anime out of 13 would have going for it is you don't have to worry so much about the on-rails running down a hallway issues that the gameplay has. Because
remember the story. The story jumps around and following different characters, and I think you could totally do that in an anime.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get rid of the problematic gameplay elements and, you know, the annoying, like I said, and you just focus on the story. It could work.
To be honest, you're spending just as much time watching the game as you are the anime, so.
Yeah.
Well, then just make an anime of Xenogears, then.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Absolutely. I'd be down for that. Speaking of Square Enix, though, Noir says The World Ends With You.
I just had an anime.
Yeah. I wonder if that was a joke. I wonder if we get some joke answers in here.
It might have been a joke because the anime wasn't that great.
Yeah, I watched it. It was very much like when I have something on my mind, but I want to watch anime. It's like, I'm just going to turn it off and watch whatever this is. It was, I guess, mediocre. I was going to say fine, but I think mediocre is a better word. Asura's Wrath, which I don't think got an anime. but it feels very anime.
I mean, it was basically a playable anime.
Uh-huh. I played it like a couple weeks, no, years ago, a couple years ago, and it was fun. F-Zero, we already had an F-Zero, but this time make Madhouse do it. And, ooh. I mean, Madhouse is good. I like F-Zero the games. Make less cartoony. Make it like a little more gritty. I think that's probably what he meant when he said Madhouse. I'm down for that.
I do love me some
murders
F-Zero.
People. Fuck it.
Do love me some F-Zero.
GX, best racing game ever made.
I like F-Zero X more, but GX was really good. Mm-hmm. You can make it more gritty, realistic, but Captain Falcon has to be ridiculous because that's just who he is.
Yep.
And but don't make him the protagonist. That would be my recommendation. Would be don't center it on Captain Falcon.
Well, that's what they did in the previous anime, and that's what they do a lot of times with these game to anime adaptations. They add a new character who's like your proxy, and we want character development. And honestly, Captain Falcon has never really been he's cool, but he's not really a character I want to like learn more.
Right, he's not
about.
He's not a character to develop or drive narrative. Like, you know, he'd be fun as like the friend of the main character, or the main character is like idol, or you know, whatever. He'd be better as All Might than as Deku. Let's put it that way.
I want you to base it on Dr. Stewart, and I want his song to play every time he comes on screen.
Yeah, that worked for me.
Okay. We got a couple more here. It's a little more niche here, but I play this game. It's really good. Radiant Historia from Nomadic Deck, I think, would have enough in terms of character and story beats to do well, time to fight sequences. Sorry.
Radiant Historia, you need a lot more than 24 episodes.
No, it jumps around, but the story's not super long. You have to choose one path, probably.
Or yeah, I was going to say, like, how many paths are we doing here?
You could probably do something with it where, like, you'll have an episode where it's like a what if, or you'll see different possibilities, meet different iterations of different characters, like Dr. Kev was talking about with Tatami. It's like, oh, we're just meeting the different variations of these characters.
Just go like Amagami SS, where you just every plot line gets chased down.
Yeah.
Isn't the blueprint clear? You mix the first couple storylines, have Studio Dean produce it, and then you know have UFO Table produce the prequel, and then redo the predominantly the second storyline. Isn't that how that works?
I think so. Yeah.
I would be perfectly fine if UFO Table spent the rest of its time just redoing every Studio Dean anime.
Yeah,
it's so much work.
Just like the only exception might be Konosuba, but I still kind of want to see them do Konosuba. Just a hyper like detailed, extremely well animated Konosuba. I don't know. I think that'd be pretty great, actually.
Deck also says Fire Emblem Three Houses. If you picked a route, focus on a few characters and fleshed out bits from other routes, whatever. Personally, I would like to see Path of Radiance if we're talking Fire Emblem, but it could also be cool.
Sure.
Everyone here likes Fire Emblem. Now, I am shocked that we don't have a Metal Gear Solid anime. Dark Aether says we should have one. Or they could dip pre-MGS, maybe tell some of that Phantom Pain story. Says, I'll take a Revengeance show, which, yes, that's another trigger one that should do.
Revengeance did feel pretty anime. I don't know, man. Trying to tell one of those stories in anime, that's going to take forever. And Metal Gear Solid 4 was already like 70% cutscenes.
Yeah, you could do it. It wasn't a long game. Pretty short.
It is kind of surprising to think about it, and Metal Gear never got an anime of any kind, even going all the way back to the 80s.
I know. And like Kojima, at least at one point he was a big anime fan. You'd think he would have had some pull. But it might just be because Konami sucks. That might be why.
Yeah, you know.
We'll get a disappointing anime.
Konami sucks, though. Who knows? We get a pachinko machine.
They absolutely have a Metal Gear Solid pachinko machine. That does exist. In fact, the cutscenes are so impressive, people were pissed. Like, you could have put this in a game.
You fuckers.
Motherfuckers. You know, I think I might have... I'll mention one more that from That's My Pizza. You mentioned Soul Calibur. Be an interesting anime, especially given how bonkers the early stories were. I always loved the story of the first game. Pretty simple. The dark seed infects everyone. Certain people like go crazy and kill people. Then Killik has to live with the tragedy of killing all of his monk friends, and Siegfried is just having to deal with the soul edge. Yeah, soul edge, turning him into nightmare. So like that could be all right. That's kind of basic, but
yeah, I mean, Soul Calibur is basically just Lord of the Rings. Like the Soul Edge is the ring, Nightmare is Golem. I loved the story in the first three, well, the first four games, because Soul, the actual first game, Soul Edge, and then there was Soul Calibur and Soul Calibur 2. Mm-hmm. I spent like 40 or 50 hours playing Soul Calibur 2.
Yeah. I think 2 is most people's favorite.
Yeah, but 4 was actually pretty good, too. I would love to see an anime of that, but fighting game animes haven't traditionally worked all that great.
Have there been any good ones?
I'm trying to think of one.
No, I remember Blaze Blue sucked.
That sucked.
The old school Street Fighter movie was good.
Yeah, that was good. The movie wasn't bad. The animated series was pretty bad.
Yes.
I mean, if you can't have Raul Julia there to chew the scenery, fucking forget it.
Yeah, I know. God, I love that guy. That performance is so fucking great. The more you watch it, the more you appreciate it.
It's just a Tuesday.
He got this bullshit script, and he's like, whatever, I'm gonna fucking A-plus this thing.
Why do you, like, did he have money problems? Why did he accept that role?
Maybe his kids asked him to do it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god, I was just joking. Jesus.
No, seriously, his kids asked him, you know, yeah. Said, oh, you're gonna be in Street Fighter? So he was like, alright, fuck it, I'll do it.
He read the script, he's like, you fucking, you owe me, kids.
He was I did Adam's Family, I killed that, I can do this.
But then man was overdrawn at the memory bank. What do you want? He can go full ham anytime.
All right. That's pretty much all our suggestions. What about you guys? Have any ideas?
Oh, several.
Yeah, whenever this question comes up, my answer is always Skies of Arcadia. Hmm. Pretty much. I want more Skies of Arcadia in any form. I'll take anything. But that's such a perfect setup. Fucking Sky Pirates. Sky Pirates always works. Give me a fucking airship of pirates on it. Let's go.
I love those ship battles. It was like the most fun part of that game. It's the big moon cannon. Once you can get that moon cannon out, you just felt like a badass.
Yeah, God, just give me another game, but I'll take an anime.
My one problem with Sky Pirates is I keep wanting to sing the song Sky Pilot by Eric Burton and the Animals, except using Sky Pirate.
Yeah, let's just do it. Put it in the game.
Just do that over and over. Which really is more of a problem for other people, I suppose, because I keep singing. But... I was going to be snarky. When this first came out, I was going to be snarky, and I mentioned, you know, Minesweeper, because Solitaire was too obvious, and then I realized, you know, maybe if they make it some sort of Kankole spinoff.
Yeah. I'm in.
Minesweeper Girls. Okay.
Yeah. It, more serious terms, yeah. Most of my games, the Western stuff, more Western games I've got, I have trouble picturing as an anime. It doesn't mean they couldn't, but the stuff I could picture as an anime is all basically Bamco and Squeenix. But so things like we mentioned the Final Fantasy stuff, obviously they've done several Tales games as series. The last one I played, Tales of Arise, actually did like that game a hell of a lot, so I wouldn't necessarily mind seeing that as an anime.
Tales of Arise had 7 times too many skits. I remember when skits were like a nice little bonus. Now I'm just like, Jesus Christ, I don't need 3 skits following a boss fight. Let me get back to the game. So yeah, good anime.
Yeah.
Tales of Berseria, though, that's the story I want to see animated. They didn't do that one yet, right?
I think they had an episode or two when they did... Which one is Berseria a prequel to? I'm blanking.
Zestiria? It's the one with the girl, the black hair, and like the claw arm.
Yeah, I remember it's Berseria. Yeah, maybe.
Because I remember Zestiria was like...
Berseria is a prequel to something. And I remember the series that it's a prequel to got an anime where... Yes. I specifically remember that a couple of the episodes were flashbacks to Berseria, and people kept saying those were the best episodes.
Of course.
Yeah, it might have been Zestiria was the one they...
I remember that happening. I didn't watch it myself.
I wonder if I could just watch those flashback episodes and not have to watch the Zestiria anime. Let me try that.
Well, the flashback episodes were for Berseria. The rest of the anime was for Zestiria.
Exactly, but I'm wondering if it would... I don't know if it'd be weird, because like those characters would still be there. I don't know. Maybe I'll do that.
I think they're independent. You probably could. You can watch them by themselves. It was kind of an odd, like, we're throwing this in, and I don't remember it having any particular real, true relevance to the rest of the plot of the rest of that anime, so...
Mm-hmm. I put a lot of RPGs, I think, have been coming up. I put down Xenoblade Chronicles. There's been a bunch of them now. I think any of them would probably work, but in terms of being shorter, I think the first one probably. People might say that one is the least anime, but honestly, if you look at the characters, you might say that, but the story is melodramatic as hell. When people say, yo, that's anime as heck, that is Xenoblade's story for sure. And I love those games. I don't love the story of the first game, but I do think if you were to really focus on the characters and the world, like, the world is just fascinating. So if you really make that the focus of your show, I think it could work.
Doc, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I just have not played most of these games, so I've got nothing to add.
Give us a silly, wacky answer.
No, oh, I did think of one seriously that would make a good anime, and that's 13 Sentinels, which recently got a release on Switch, but I played the PS4 version a couple of years ago. It is one of the most anime games of all time, and yeah, the story structure is a bit tortured and complicated, but I think it could be simplified into anime form, and it would be really, really good. It's got all sorts of interesting... sci-fi callbacks to lots of like 80s movies and things. There's, you know, stuff like E.T. and the Terminator and all that sort of stuff. It just it's really, really good. It's such a fascinating story. I think it would make a very good sort of 24 to 26 episode length anime, and they should go make that right now because I've decided they should do it.
You heard it here first.
Yeah,
I remember I read the story synopsis for that because I didn't want to play the game, but I was curious and I was like, Jesus Christ, I can't follow this at all.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a very complicated story, but it's so good. It's so well written. You can tell, you know, it took them about 8 years or something to make that game because they just poured so much love into it. Such a good game. I mean, I love all Vanillaware games, but that's my favorite one by far.
Yeah, I love Muramasa. I would love to see that. Sawashiro, main character, obviously, but I don't think they've done any adaptations of any of their games, unless I'm wrong.
What about Odin Sphere?
Did they do one for Odin Sphere?
I love
Odin. No, I was just saying, would that make a good anime, though?
Probably. It's multiple characters, so I guess you could do like a few episodes for each character, and then I assume it intersects. I never actually beat that game.
Odin Sphere has bunny people in it.
Oh, there you go.
Also, it has one of the most depressing endings ever.
Oh, fuck. Is it like the bad ending or like the good ending is
depressing? No, there is an ending, and that ending is depressing. I mean, it's about Ragnarok. It's about the end of the world. Spoiler, the world ends.
Right, but the legend of Ragnarok has a hopeful ending about rebirth.
I don't really want to spoil it too much. Yeah, there's a tiny little acorn of hope, but basically everyone dies.
Well, yeah. That's more or less what happens in the myth, too.
It's so grim.
But they go to Valhalla or something.
Well, if they do,
Valhalla is destroyed during Ragnarok.
Everything is destroyed.
Asgard?
No, yeah, Asgard is destroyed in Ragnarok. Everything gets destroyed except...
How are we dying, then?
There's only a couple of gods left, and then there are two new humans, or basically Adam and Eve, that restart life on Earth. But the nature of what is left of Asgard or any kind of afterlife life for the Vikings is not clear at the end of the Ragnarok myth.
Okay, the game follows that myth exactly.
Okay,
cool.
And now those foundations are gone. That's the answer. Sorry, speaking of Thor Ragnarok, and you know, as you're talking about Asgard and everything being destroyed.
Yeah, I think Marvel has killed any kind of appreciation for those stories. Like, what, I thought that Thor was a good guy and sexy.
Nope. I don't know. I think it brought a lot of those stories into more mainstream understanding. I think you can still do a lot with Viking mythology without necessarily leaning on, like, nobody didn't see the Northmen because they thought it was a Marvel movie.
I don't think that's what I was saying, but yes. It's just weird because I'm playing God of War right now, and it's like, oh, all the gods are awful, and all the original stories basically make them out as such, and then it's just like, oh, these guys are just like pure heroes and wonderful people. I'm like, this is just weird. And then
I've been playing that as well recently, too, so I'm with you there. It's like, oh, yeah, hey, this is your reminder that, you know,
the Norse gods weren't bad.
Massive dicks.
The Norse gods in the myths aren't as bad as like Greek gods, for instance. They're not. Some of them aren't as bad. They're not as flawed. Some of them were actually useful.
You know, not as bad. Sure. Remember, these are Viking gods. They, well, yeah. They're raping and pillaging everywhere they go.
Well, yeah, because you know, you can't judge them on modern morality. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm actually really excited for season two,
as opposed to the Greek gods who were mostly just raping and drinking.
Yeah. It went to
slightly
be
less pillaging.
Yeah, it went from an immortal kegger to an immortal slaughter. It's like it went from let's get hammered and fuck everything to let's get hammered, fuck everything, and then stab some people.
Yep. All right, that's probably a good place to end. Unless, Rick, did you have an anime for a game?
I said Skies of Arcadia.
Oh, right.
That's always going to be my answer. They actually make one, then I guess I'll have to find a new one.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm probably pretty safe.
I just wanted to point out that I think if we did make Minesweeper Can Call, then they would all have little red flags they would hold up and be on their outfit.
What if you just made Minesweeper like that one anime that's in the body, and there's just like the little
cells at work.
Yeah, cells at work. Like the little red flags were like the platelet girls walking around, little grade schoolers with red flags.
I feel like there's slightly less source material to go on than Cells at Work.
Yeah, Minesweeper, the narrative isn't really fleshed out.
Yeah, we'll have to get there. Keyword flesh. Anyways, that's it. Anime podcast, done.
That's it.
Okay. I'm Ivan Mink. Thank you, Dr. Kev. UMR Guy and Requiem. Until next time, God, there's a lot of anime to watch. You should just be doing that instead of listening to this. What are you doing with your life?
Bye-bye.
Bye.